The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Wait, let me get up a minute. One second. Yeah, I listen to Nicole Sandler. Is it time for the Nicole Sandler show? I forgot to turn the computer on. Let me just walk over here and I'll boot up my computer because I don't want... Oh, crap, I just... Never mind, it's okay, I got another one.
Yeah.
Leave it there, the cat will get it. Got a little tune here, a little song to sing for you. That Nicole, she does something. She's really there and does things. Nicole Sandler show.
You know, it's a good chance when you hear that intro that I'm having, you know, studio issues. But what else is new? Welcome to a Friday. Thank God it's Friday. I this main computer that I have, I do the show using two different computers. The main computer is still buggy. So I think I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm going to wipe the entire thing. Well, I'm going to make sure it's all backed up and then wipe it clean and then reload it again because it's never been right since the last time it crashed on me. But by the skin of my teeth, we are up and running and here we are. And it's a Friday and that's a good thing. So welcome to it. Lots of news going on and we have a great guest for you today. In fact, it's somebody you know because he's been coming on this show for years. But Greg Palast, investigative reporter, has a new film out, and it's called Vigilante. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour at around the 30-minute mark or so. But and I got a warning from his office already that he's having computer issues, so the Zoom may not work. We will try it, but, you know, we have a fail-safe. We've got a fallback if it doesn't work. I hope. But anyway, I thought you'd like to see the trailer. So, and because I know that there a lot of people are just listening to the audio feed only, hi, Progressive Voices and other radio listeners. So when there's text on the screen, I will do the voiceover. Okay, ready? Take it away, trailer people. Investigative reporter Greg Palast exposes the most brazen voter suppression scheme ever.
You call him, but you challenged his right to vote or have his ballot challenged.
No ballot. Mr. Turner, you have been challenged.
Is this an attempt to remove a lot of Democrats, black people, from voting?
Get out of my house now.
Kemp. The lie. The lie that black people commit.
Voter fraud.
Law enforcement is going to the houses and places of employment and making people afraid to go out and exercise their rights.
And today to come out and not be able to vote, it bothers me to my core.
My life is on the line. You
know, wrongfully arrested for voter fraud.
Commit suicide. This would be over.
Stop voter fraud.
They raided a voter registration office and tried to send all of these college kids to jail.
Call our voter fraud hotline.
Tonight, Governor Kemp has signed that controversial election bill. He signed Senate Bill 202.
To build an army of voter fraud vigilantes.
If you go back to the bill signing, you will see Governor Kemp sitting under a painting of a plantation.
Yeah. Georgia. 8 slaves, 15 slaves, 10, the Potter Farm, Brothers
Time to
Farm.
Do something if we don't get it back in November.
How did 280-year-old dynasties turn slavery and suppression into profit and power?
Brian Kemp is preparing to ban books.
Whose vote? My vote, not his.
Are you removing black voters from the voter rolls just so you can win this election?
Vigilante, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. An 8-year investigation, the documentary Fall 2022. Support us at gregpalast.com. And it is out. I know they've got screenings this week. And so Greg Palast, when he joins us, will tell us how you can see the film. I watched it. I watched it the other night. And it's exactly what you would expect from Greg Palast, who's done a number of movies, a number of books, a number of investigative reports. He always gets himself in trouble, but, you know, he's in it for the right reason. So this all centers on Georgia. Now, I know that there were many places in the nation that attempted to overturn the election, that they tried to do, you know, fishy things, all the while claiming the Democrats were trying to steal the votes. That is projection. That's what I talk about when I talk about opposite world. But so we'll get to that. So that was a little teaser to get you ready for Greg Palast, who, again, will join us in about 25 minutes or so. In the meantime, there's stuff. So yesterday, we talked about the news broke just as we were going on the air about Joe Biden's plans to pardon everybody who had a federal simple marijuana possession conviction. And, you know, that's a good start because that's all he can do. He cannot pardon anyone for a state conviction. We learned that with the Donald Trump case, that, you know, Donald Trump was able to pardon his cronies for their federal crimes, but not their state crimes, right? Sometimes, you know, we learn things along the way. Well, but look, Biden is doing what he can. And that's important, to pardon whoever he can. Unfortunately, a lot of people are still caught in the system because they're under state charges. But he's urging the governors to do the same, to extend, to pardon the people convicted under state law for simple marijuana possession. And he made a point to say, look, I'm not talking about, let me see if I can cue into this at the very end, if it will let me. You know, trafficking selling to kids.
Marijuana is scheduled under federal law. As federal and local regulations of marijuana change, important limitations on trafficking, marketing, and underage sales should stay in place.
You see?
Too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It's time that we right these wrongs.
Yeah. So a number of memes have popped up in the last 24 hours. My favorite is, you know, there's been the Dank Brandon meme. You know, we know Dark Brandon was Biden coming back and basically saying, okay, I'm in charge. We're going to fix some things around here. That's the Dark Brandon. But Dank Brandon is taking over. And David just came in and showed me something, and it was David, what was it? Go Green Brand? I lost it. I'm so bad at the, I can never remember the joke and the punchline. But another good one about using, what is it? Let's Grow Brandon. Thank you. I knew it was something having to do with weed. Let's Grow Brandon. Get it? I think I need this. Yeah. So, you know, we've got some time before Greg Palast gets here. Let me share with you, you know, some of the news that's been going on. We can't talk about the election. And our ballots showed up today, by the way. The ballots came in the mail. And of course, I have no patience. So I wanted to fill in, you know, all the bubbles already. And some of them are easy, you know, Governor Charlie Crist, Senator Val Demings, the congressman from my district, though, I have a real problem with because I don't like our nominee, Jared Moskowitz, who will win. And the reason I don't like him is multifaceted. One, I don't like that he dissed me. I take it personally. I tried to get him on the show. Everybody else who was running for that office, he had five other opponents in the primary. They all came on, but Jared Moskowitz figured he didn't need me. And I'm not saying he needed me. I'm just saying some common courtesy. But hey, he didn't think that he needed to secure my vote, so he doesn't get my vote. There are two other people running as independents because I saw their names on the ballot. I've not heard anything about them, but I will do my research because here's the other thing. Our ballot has those three races, right? Governor, senator, representative in Congress. And then it has a slew of judicial races. Now, you know, I don't know what the answer is when it comes to judges. And by the way, phone lines are open. If you would like to weigh in on anything I'm talking about, you got something else to talk about, let me put the phone number up on the screen, but I think you know it. It's 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler, all one word. I don't have a producer or a call screener, so if you call, you go right on the air. So you know, pay attention. Anyway, or don't, whatever. It's Friday. Can you tell? And my computer has been on the fritz, so I'm kind of in a weird place. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you. I get it. Thank you, Brandon. Anyway, so and now I lost my train of thought. It's one of those days. It's a good thing it's Friday. So. What was I talking about? See, the dank Brandon and the dark Brandon distracted me. So let me tell you a few things. So what I was saying, I think, is it's hard to get away from the Herschel Walker story. What a train wreck, right? And just when you want to turn away, he says or does something else that makes you go, how is this man got any support in Georgia? Well, it's Georgia. And the other thing that I think we've all learned through the course of Donald Trump's tenure and the time since he inexplicably got enough votes to win the Electoral College, even though, you know, he lost to Hillary Clinton by 3 million votes in the popular vote. We don't have a real democracy here. It's not a question of majority wins. So anyway, seeing his rise in power and how the Republicans are still sticking by him, it'll make your brain hurt if you try to figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. And all we know is that today's Republican Party is even more evil than yesterday's, and they don't care. You know, Dana Loesch, do you remember her? She was the NRA spokesperson before the NRA crashed and burned. And, you know, she's another right-wing, loudmouth bimbo who has a radio show, who was the spokeswoman for the NRA. And she was caught on a hot mic the other day. It wasn't even a hot mic. She was on the air saying the quiet part out loud. She said, I don't care if he aborted, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what she said, but I don't care what babies he aborted. We want to control of Congress back. That's all they care about. And that's why they're behind this guy. So he went on the air with Sean Hannity. He went on the air with Hugh Hewitt. And you tell me if you can understand anything that he says in this conversation with Hugh Hewitt on the radio yesterday morning. And all I can figure is I can hear one part where he says, if I did, it's okay because I've been forgiven or something like that. Let's see if we can decipher this together.
Herschel, the Daily Beast has updated the story about your paying for a woman's abortion. The anonymous woman has now also alleged that she had a child by you.
Uh-oh.
Your response.
I'll say the same thing I said, that, you know, I know this is untrue.
Really?
I know it's untrue. And
I know it's
untrue. They keep telling me things like that, and it's totally, totally untrue.
Totally untrue.
And I'm not sure why that will be told. I know nothing about any woman having an abortion.
Nothing about any woman having an abortion.
So they can keep coming at me like that. And they're doing it because they want to distract people. I know that because, you know, I've already been forgiven.
It's all been forgiven.
Why in the world will I not be forgiven of something like that?
Okay. I've been forgiven. Why in the world would I not be forgiven for something like that? Okay. And Yeah.
And I'm not being forgiven. Go ahead.
I've been forgiven.
Is there anything you need to be forgiven for vis-a-vis a woman whose name we do not know? Do you know who this woman is, and do you need to be forgiven?
Well, that's what's so funny. And I'm saying I've been forgiven because of all the things I did when I went to my the thing with my ex-wife and all that.
Oh, you mean like your son said that you threatened their lives, like they had to move 6 times in 6 months because you threatened their lives? You've been forgiven for that. By whom, may I ask? No, he's not answering. Okay, let's see if Hugh Hewitt can get anything else out of him.
Things I did, I don't know how many years ago that I wrote in my book. I said, guys, I wasn't perfect.
I had
my problem with mental health.
Oh, problem with mental health.
I've been born again, but I have a new life.
He has a new life.
I've been moving forward. And if that had happened, I would have said it, because there's nothing to be ashamed of there.
People have done that,
but I know nothing about it. If I knew about it, I would be honest and talk about it, but I know nothing about it.
If I knew about it, I'd be honest and talk about it, but I know nothing. I hear nothing. Oh, sorry, wrong slice of life. No. So that was him basically saying, I've been forgiven. If I did anything, I've been forgiven. So later in the day yesterday, Herschel Walker goes out and actually does a gaggle. Goes before a group of reporters. That's a weird thing. I mean, it's a normal thing for somebody who's a candidate for the U.S. Senate to do, but not for somebody who's under, you know, the gun like this. Don't forget, his son, Christian Walker, who is a right-wing, they say conservative. This is not conservative. This is right-wing crazy. He's a right-wing crazy TikTok influencer. So he's one of them. He is firmly entrenched in this batshit crazy ideology. So they can't say, oh, he's a liberal plant, except Herschel Walker says he's a liberal plant. Don't ask me to explain it. I'm just parroting what he said. I can't explain it because it's nonsensical. So he goes before the press. And why?
Any of the mothers of your children?
No.
To ask why? Why not?
Okay. So the reporter's asking him, so look, we heard the story yesterday. The woman who came forth to the Daily Beast didn't want her name out there, wanted to protect her family, but because of all of Herschel's, pushback, she thought she needed to come out and give more information. So she said, look, our relationship continued after I had the abortion and we had a child together. We don't know for sure if her child is one of the four that he's now admitted to fathering after he said that he had three or two or didn't really know or whatever he said. So we don't know if this is an extra kid or one of the four that we sort of know about. But so the reporter asked, did you check with the four women who have given birth to your spawn? And he said, no, I didn't do that.
Why'd I need to?
Well, I don't need to. According to the article, the woman who says that you paid for her to have an abortion is also the mother of one of your children.
Yeah.
It seems like that's an easy way to.
Because of the article, I had more kids. That's why I reached out to anyone, because I said no.
Uh-oh.
And that's what I mean.
Uh-oh.
When I said,
there's breaking news. Hold on. Just broke. There's more breaking news about Herschel. Hold on. Let me open the inbox. Breaking news. Herschel Walker urged woman to have a second abortion. Breaking news. A woman who said the Senate nominee Herschel Walker paid for her abortion told the Times, that he also urged her to terminate a second pregnancy. The woman disclosed the new details about her relationship with Mr. Walker, who has anchored his campaign on an appeal to social conservatives as an unwavering opponent of abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, after the former football star publicly denied that he knew her. This is from the New York Times. It's not letting me in. Yes, David. Hi.
I have an explanation.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I think you misunderstood Herschel.
Did I?
I believe that what Herschel said was that he had the IQ of a plant.
Okay. Before it was just the Daily Beast. And it's easy to go, it's the Daily Beast. Well, now the New York Times is on the story. Let me share with you some of this New York Times article. A woman who has said Herschel Walker, the Republican Senate nominee in Georgia, paid for her abortion in 2009, told the New York Times that he urged her to terminate a second pregnancy. 2 years later, they ended their relationship after she refused. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. In a series of interviews, the woman said Mr. Walker had barely been involved in their now 10-year-old son's life, offering little more than court-ordered child support and occasional gifts. The woman disclosed the new details about her relationship with Mr. Walker, who has anchored his campaign on an appeal to social conservatives as an unwavering opponent of abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, after the former football star publicly denied that he knew her. He called her, quote, some alleged woman in a radio interview on Thursday. The Times is withholding the name of the woman who insisted on anonymity to protect her son. I think this is a fifth kid. I don't know for sure, but it just seems to be unfolding that way. In the interviews, she described the frustration of watching Republicans rally around Mr. Walker, dismiss her account, and bathe him in prayer and praise, calling him a good man. She said she wanted Georgia voters to know what kind of a man Mr. Walker was to her. Ooh, do tell. Quote, as a father, he's done nothing. He does exactly what the courts say, and that's it, she said. He has to be held responsible, just like the rest of us. And if you're going to run for office, you need to own your life. The interviews and documents provided to the Times together corroborate and expand upon an account about her abortion first published on Monday in the Daily Beast. The Times also independently confirmed details with custody records filed in family court in New York and interviewed a friend of the woman to whom she had described the abortion and her eventual breakup with Mr. Walker as those events occurred. Repeated messages left Friday afternoon with Mr. Walker's spokesman and campaign manager were not returned. Gee, what a shock. The woman reaffirmed the key details of her account. She and Mr. Walker conceived a child in 2009 and decided not to continue the pregnancy. Mr. Walker was not married at the time. She provided to the Times a $575 receipt she was given after paying for the procedure at an Atlanta women's clinic, and a deposit slip showing a copy of a $700 check that she said Mr. Walker gave her as reimbursement. She also shared a Get Well card with a handwritten message, pray you are feeling better, and signed simply H. Mr. Walker has repeatedly denied her account, calling it a flat-out lie and the work of Democrats and the hostile news media. He's disputed that he signed the card. He told Fox, not News, on Monday that he sends money, quote, to a lot of people. Hey, Herschel, I could use a few bucks if you're, you know, doling it out. Anyway, Mr. Walker said on the Hugh Hewitt Show on Thursday, what I just played for you, I know this is untrue. I know it's untrue. I know nothing about any woman having an abortion. Later on Thursday, he gathered reporters in a lumberyard 150 miles east of Atlanta for his first public event since the report first surfaced. He read a statement that did not directly address it. Instead, he blamed his political opponents. And then he said, quote, you're here because Democrats are desperate to hold on to power. No, we're here because Republicans are desperate to regain power, and that's why they're putting you out there. Don't you understand that you're being made a fool of? That you're a spectacle? Herschel? Maybe too many hits against the brain? A little CTE going on there? Sorry, I digress. He continued, they're desperate to make this race about my family. No, it was not about your family until the reports began surfacing, and you lied. You lied about how many kids you have. You lied about abortion. You lie about every fucking thing you open your mouth. But then again, who should be surprised? Because your mentor, Donald Trump, does the same thing. Back to the Times story. I get carried away sometimes. Sorry. Mr. Walker is running against Senator Raphael Warnock, a Democrat, in what is one of the year's most expensive and competitive races as Republicans try to win control of the Senate. Again, this shouldn't be competitive. Raphael Warnock is, in my mind, above reproach. He's brilliant. He's brilliant. And Herschel Walker is brain damaged. Sorry, but he is. Back to the Times. Mr. Walker and his former girlfriend started their relationship around November 2008, according to her paternity suit. She said they first met in Atlanta, where she lived, and he regularly visited. She would occasionally travel to the Dallas area, his home at the time. The next year, when they conceived a child, the couple agreed that she should end the pregnancy, she said. Mr. Walker never expressed any moral or religious concerns about abortion. He told her that it was, quote, not a good time for a baby. The two continued their relationship, and 2 years later, the woman became pregnant again. Can I quote Christian Walker at this moment, who tweeted at one point during his tirades, use a condom, man! Okay, sorry, I thought it was pertinent. This time, she said, she told Mr. Walker she wanted to have the child. But Mr. Walker did not, and again made the case that the time just wasn't right. The relationship ended on September 16th, 2011, according to her paternity suit. Her son was born the following May. Uh-oh. In an interview, a friend who lived in Atlanta at the time described consoling the woman through her morning sickness before her abortion and supporting her afterward. Years later, when the woman was pregnant again, she disclosed in phone and in-person conversations that Mr. Walker had asked her to end the pregnancy, but she was adamant that she would not, according to the friend. Mr. Walker also appears to have been involved with two other women around this time. Why not? In an interview in the December 2011 issue of Playboy magazine, he identified Julie Blanchard, who is now his wife, as his fiance. And in January 2012, Micah Dean, then a shareholder along with her mother and Mr. Walker's company, Renaissance Man, according to financial records, filed a police report in Irving, Texas, in which she said that for 20 years, she had been in an on-off, on-off relationship with Mr. Walker. Ms. Dean, who died in 2019, told the police that Mr. Walker threatened her after she told him that she wanted to date other people. Walker, of course, denied the allegation through a spokeswoman in April. The woman interviewed by The Times said Mr. Walker never physically abused her. In April 2013, the woman filed for child support in Manhattan when she was a graduate student at Columbia University and, quote, struggling to make ends meet, according to a statement from her lawyer at the time. Mr. Walker was initially ordered to make payments, first of $2,500 a month and later of $3,500 a month. The final order of child support was not issued until July 2014, according to court records. Mr. Walker has made his payments on time, she said. Oh, this is interesting. Mr. Warnock, okay, so he's not blameless. Mr. Warnock has also been involved in a child custody dispute. His ex-wife sued in April to adjust the terms of their agreement and increase payments to account for the income he earns as a senator and as lead pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. A spokeswoman for the Warnock campaign declined to comment for this article. You see, that shouldn't even be under discussion. The only reason it is because Herschel Walker is a scumbag. Shall I say that again? Herschel Walker is a scumbag. And to his credit, Raphael Warnock has said, look, I don't want to get involved in this. I don't want to talk about his personal life. He should own up to what he's done. The record should speak for itself or something like that. He's trying not to get down in the muck. All right. Here, back to the article. Sorry, there's a lot. It's almost over. The woman said Mr. Walker hardly knew his 10-year-old son. She said he had, quote, maybe only seen him three times and had not spoken to her in years. She said she and Mr. Walker communicated only through Ms. Blanchard, who the woman said sometimes called her to ask her son's size before sending gifts. And by he, I mean she sends him Christmas presents, birthday presents, the woman said. A Democrat, the woman said she had struggled to watch Mr. Walker campaign on public positions so clearly at odds with his private conduct. Mr. Walker has said he supports abortion bans with no exceptions for rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. Oh, my God. You know what? There's only one more section here. Quote, the woman said, the fact that I had a choice, now he's in the public trying to say he wants to put a ban on abortion completely, it appalled me. Mr. Walker has also assailed absentee fathers, particularly in the Black community. But the woman said Mr. Walker himself had been so uninvolved in her son's life that his absence was a running joke between her and her family and friends. The woman said she was given no advance notice about his Senate candidacy and was shocked when she learned he had entered the race. Mr. Walker's personal life has been a source of turmoil in his campaign. He talked often about a 22-year-old son, Christian Walker, in early campaign materials and appearances, but later acknowledged three more children he had not publicly mentioned. Oh, including the 10-year-old son, an adult daughter, and another young son. Christian Walker, a conservative social media star in his own right, began openly attacking his father after the Daily Beast report was published, accusing him and his Republican allies of hypocrisy. Mr. Walker disputed that he had not acknowledged his children, quote, I just chose not to use them as props to win a political campaign. Oh, please. He said this in a statement in June. What parent would want their child involved in garbage gutter politics like this? Okay, irony is now dead. And then it finishes. When those reports first appeared in June, the woman said Ms. Blanchard asked her to publicly vouch for Mr. Walker's on-time child support payments in an effort to make the case that Mr. Walker was a responsible father. The woman said she declined. Wow. You know, if this were 10 years ago, Herschel Walker would be out on his ass, right? Or, you know, look at this. The morality party, who claimed to be the party of family values, now doesn't care. Doesn't care if you go out and lie about everything. Doesn't care if you proclaim, you know, you're against abortion for any reason. Doesn't care if, you know, your son comes out and says, you know, he threatened us so horribly that we had to move 6 times in 6 months. And then he clarified it and said he threatened our lives. And the Republicans go, that's okay, because we really want control of the Senate back. I talk about opposite world all the time. You notice Bobby in North Carolina, I should have potted this down because I barely have time for a phone call. But Bobby, real quick, in 30 seconds. Hi, you're on.
Hey, Nicole.
Yeah.
A couple of quick things. Somebody said he's been used, Herschel Walker, as a tool. You know, he is a tool.
He is a tool.
And
I agree.
He is a tool, yeah. And so it's so interesting how there was never any voter fraud until a fraud showed up in the White House complaining.
Right.
And now all of a sudden voter fraud. And the only people that have been busted for voter fraud have all been Republicans.
Isn't that true? You know, look, I'm in Florida. There were, and in fact, in the film, Greg even mentions three people, all residents of the village, were all busted for voting not only their own ballots, but I believe the ballots of their deceased spouses. Did our governor, moron death sentence, do anything about those people? No. Instead, he chose to prosecute people who were felons, who had served their time, paid their debt to society, and because we Floridians passed a constitutional amendment to give them back their vote. If you've served your time, as a felon, you've earned your vote back. So these people actually were told that they could vote. They know how the vote went down. And yet, and they were allowed to register as well. This is what's so appalling. They were allowed to register to vote, and they got voter registration cards. Nobody stopped them, but then the governor's election police came in and swooped in and arrested these people and said they're going to go to jail. Yet the people who knowingly committed voter fraud, no problem. I think they may have gotten a slap on the wrist, or if that. We'll find out when Greg Palast joins us. But really good point, Bobby. Really good point.
Thanks, sister.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye. All right, well, it is now time to bring in Greg Palast. He's an investigative reporter. You've seen his reports over the years. Well, maybe, you know, if you watch the BBC or if you read Rolling Stone magazine, if you watch, like, you know, commercial over-the-air mainstream corporate media here in the U.S., you haven't seen Greg Palast because they don't recognize you, Greg, do they?
Oh, no. I'm a prophet outcast in his own land. You know, on the BBC, I was on the top of the nightly news and the front page of The Guardian. I was The Guardian's chief investigative reporter for a while. But I came back home because I thought, this is where my reports need to be. And for 22 years, I've been on this story, which started with The Guardian and BBC. And we politely call it vote suppression, but it means shafting basically black people out of their votes. And what's happened is, so I've been doing one story after another, finally did this film. Many people know me from my book or my film, Best Democracy Money Can Buy, or the book Our Madhouse. This film, Vigilante, George's Vote Suppression Hitman, takes you to the new level of evil.
Now,
where you have individuals, according to the laws just signed by Brian Kemp last year called SB 202, which is, should be called Jim Crow 2.02.
Yeah.
And it allows any Georgian to challenge the vote of any other Georgian, an unlimited number of votes. And when I say unlimited, Joan, I mean unlimited. We got one woman in the film. You'll meet her. You know, by the way, she was running for vice chair of the Republican Party, proudly said, yes, I challenged 32,000 voters in her own county, Cobb County. And I said, so I showed her pictures of voters. I said, have you met this woman? Oh, no, I don't know who she is. Did you? What about this guy? Have you called this guy? No. I said, but you challenged their vote. You didn't call them. You didn't notify them. You didn't ask any questions. 32,000 voters will have their ballots stopped from being counted in Cobb County. Now, then I go down to Muskogee, Columbus, Georgia, Muskogee, where they have Fort Benning.
Okay.
And there you will see in the film, and I don't know if you have a clip of this character up, but this is the vice, this is one of the chairmen of the Republican Party in Southern Georgia and close to Brian Kemp. And he is, he has challenged, personally challenged 4,000 voters, almost all of them African-Americans, soldiers from Fort Benning.
Oh, my God.
Including, you know, the U.S. military's chief expert on warfare of the future, who's now, by the way, just came up with a brilliant improvement for a weapon for the Ukrainians. He lost his, they wouldn't give him a ballot because he was challenged by this vigilante.
God.
And by the way, the vigilante, who I hope you can get the clip up, but the vigilante, for those who are listening and not watching, or
right?
If you can see it, he's dressed like a vigilante.
Oh, wow.
He has a pearl-handled six-gun loaded. He has a cowboy hat. He likes to put on performances and pretend he is Doc Holliday, the vigilante. You remember the fastest gun in the West? The guy ain't too fast with a gun. Because I asked him, he was going to pull out his gun to show us the fast draw. It took him like 4 minutes to get the gun out of the holster. And the guy is like, you know, you'd think, oh, this guy is a joke and you're laughing. But he's chairman of the Republican Party.
Right, right.
And he has challenged 4,000 voters. And then what you'll really meet, he does his little shtick. We invite him, say, well, you want to do your Doc Holliday thing on camera first? He said, oh, yeah, I'd love to. And I said, you want to tell us about the vote challenge? Oh, yeah, I'd love to. I'm doing the right thing.
Okay, and that's the audio clip you sent?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
so
got it?
I got it. So let's listen.
Can
to,
we play it?
Let's listen to that.
Right now, I'm the chairman of the Columbus Muskogee Republican Party. So I'm pretty involved in that, which I think is the right. Let's see, that would be the right way to be. And also, I'm on the right.
Apparently, you had filed some challenges to 4,000 voters.
Yes.
Yes.
No ballot. No ballot in the mail. Called to register, and the announcement there was, Mr. Turner, you have been challenged.
Major Gamaliel Turner is the military's expert on future warfare.
I project weapons and capabilities out to the future. You know, for me, it's all about the survival of the soldier.
Assigned to Fort Wainini in California.
So you're telling me 2,600 miles away, 2 days or 3 days before an election, that if I want to vote, all I have to do is show up and prove as an American citizen that I have the right to vote again? You talk to fools like that. You talk to fools like that. I'm not a fool.
And that's who you'll meet in the film, Major Gamaliel Turner, and his extraordinary family.
Yes.
By the way, his father, just so you know, well, it's a tragedy for any American, whether they're a soldier or not. But listen to this. His father is the Reverend Harold Turner, who you'll meet in the film. Reverend Harold Turner was the founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference with Ralph Abernathy and Martin Luther King. His father was a founder of this voting rights movement in the United States. You'll meet them right at where they had the secret meetings with King and Abernathy so they wouldn't get shot. They, obviously one got shot anyway, Dr. King.
Yes.
But they had these secret meetings to plan the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and begin the voting rights movement. And this is – so the people that started the voting rights movement, their son, a career soldier, his ballot was challenged and blocked.
Amazing.
This is what's going on. And by the way, if you think it's just Georgia, Nicole, I know you don't – you're not going to be fooled by that.
No.
But just read the New York Times story from yesterday where – which, by the way, our producer introduces the film at these special showings. His name is Martin Sheen.
Yes.
And you may know him from places.
Yeah, from the West Wing,
once
President
in a while,
Bartlett.
You might know Martin. Yeah. Anyway, he's my producer. And Martin explains that this is a evil trick which is coming to a state near you. It's now spread. So the New York Times confirmed 9 states where they're using these vigilante challenges. It starts in Georgia. Now it's Arizona, Texas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Florida. Hello.
Yeah.
And so they're starting this business of vigilante challenges. And where individuals are saying, don't let that person vote. But they're not taking one person. They're doing thousands at a time. Thousands.
And people that they have no knowledge of. So, Greg, before you came on, I played the trailer. So everyone, mm-hmm. we opened the show with the trailer talking that you were going to come on. Then I went off on Herschel Walker just because I don't understand. I just don't get it. Anyway, so the woman who kicked you out of her house, she also filed, she challenged all these voters and you were showing her pictures. Do you know this person? No. Well, you challenged her ballot. Why? And you kept questioning her and she finally just threw you out of the house. You got some big balls and I love it.
Well, I have to tell you what you'll find out in the film is that when we walk in, she's got ammo all over the place, guns all over the place. And she has a loaded shotgun next to the door. So as I explained the film,
oh my God.
When she told me to get out, and by the way, her husband jumped on me. And she's like, she's just like, she was dressed like Nancy Reagan, in high heels and the red dress, the whole Republican red dress thing. Mm-hmm. And she starts swearing at me like a sailor. I couldn't put it all in the film because I didn't want to have an X rating.
Wow.
And these are these nice Republicans. And, with shotguns, and that's the other thing. So they all seem to be armed. And I'm not trying to be courageous. That's why when she says get out, it's like I wasn't, waiting around because they were getting angry. But they are violent. And then Brian Kemp is violent.
Okay.
Because he's the guy running for governor again against Stacey Abrams. He set up these rules because he doesn't trust the voters of Georgia. I'm not telling you to vote for Stacey Abrams. I'm not telling you to vote against Herschel Walker. I am saying, why don't we let the people of Georgia pick their senator and governor? Hmm? Mr. Kemp, what do you think of that idea?
The way it should be. Greg Palast is with us. The new film is called Vigilante. It's done. You did a Kickstarter. People got involved, or you raised money so people were involved in the production of the film. It's finally, I know you've got a series of screenings this week.
Yes. In fact, let me mention.
Yes, please.
Go to gregpalast.com. Okay, Tuesday, October 11th, it will be in Chicago at Rainbow Push headquarters. They're doing a special showing with and honoring the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Oh, nice.
And that'll be October 11th, Tuesday at 6 p.m. 6:30 p.m. the next day in Minneapolis, Wednesday the 12th. Then we move to Oakland, the great Grand Lakes Theater, where they just premiered the new Black Panther. Then they'll be premiering our film on Wednesday, October 19th. Then the 26th to Hollywood. And by the way, it will be narrated. Now the film is narrated by the great Rosario Dawson.
Yes.
You have Rosario, you have Martin Sheen, and most important, you have some really courageous vote fighters for your vote. And then you get to meet these vigilantes. By the way, I did try to speak to Brian Kemp. I caught up with him. He kept ducking me. I even sued him to open his files successfully, by the way, in federal court. And I did. But I wanted to speak to him, like, explain yourself. Why are you knocking off voters? Black voters. And but I met him at a pig roast. I hunted him down at the pig roast. And then he literally, I didn't include in the film right after that, though, is I was arrested. He had me arrested. He had me arrested for asking questions. I said, did any other journalist get arrested? Only you. And I said, and then, of course, it was a catch and release because he told the cops that the owner of the pig roast joint had Sprayberries, a great place, that I was trespassing. In fact, the owner of Sprayberries thought it was very funny to have Brian Kemp finally have to answer a question. So the cops had to let me go. But you'll see all this in the film Vigilante, again, Chicago, October 11th, Minneapolis, the 12th, Oakland, the 19th, Hollywood, the 26th, in coordination with the ACLU.
Nice. So that's great. But what if you're not in Minneapolis or Oakland or Chicago or
there's two things you can do until we're doing these obviously because it's before the midterms and people should be warned, especially in Georgia. So we're doing all kinds of, we are raising money and doing special showings all over Georgia right now. And, but if you want a copy of the film, you have to get, and you're not going to make it to the openings, before its commercial release, you can support the film and get a DVD copy of it with Rosario Dawson, Martin Sheen, myself. And of course, the vigilantes.
Right. So it's not streaming.
At gregpalast.com. gregpalast.com. G-R-E-G-P-A-L-A-S-T.
Of course. And I will have a link on the blog where I post today's show.
Fantastic.
But so you're not having like a major online screening before the election? I mean,
we're doing something special for Georgians. And
okay.
So I can't announce it on national, but there's a special hookup. If you're in Georgia, just go to gregpalast.com. Go to New Georgia Project, Black Voters Matter Fund, NAACP, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Rainbow Push Coalition, and they will direct you to the special. There will be for Georgians, because it's going to be a geofence for Georgians. We're having a special online showings. You have to go to the organizations for that information.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but hopefully it will be available for everyone to see, but you can make a donation and buy a DVD copy of it and watch it to your heart's content.
Donations. Sell them to you.
Gotcha.
If you donate, we'll sell it. We're not for profit. It's tax deductible.
Gotcha.
Because this is, we don't do this for the money. I know you don't either.
Help, no. Nicole, if I did, I wouldn't be here.
You could do it. You could just switch sides, and then you'd have a lot of it would come through.
Yeah, that's how they do it. That's how they do it down here. There, another day. Greg Palast. So I watched the film the other night. Thank you.
Wow.
You sent me so I can watch it, and you know, I learned a lot about Brian Kemp. Now, mm-hmm. Brian Kemp is not new to this. His family is a political dynasty in Georgia. Who right. knew?
Well, what's interesting about Kemp, the name Kemp was got absorbed into their dynasty. Most Georgians, even the African-American leadership that was at the opening, were shocked to find out that Brian Kemp, who portrays himself as a small businessman, self-made man, in fact, is from the oldest Georgia richest dynasty that they have. He's actually the scion of the Habersham Roswell Cox family. And they are the first, that was the first family to bring captive Africans to Georgia. Now, are you ready for this? Georgia was one of the only places in the United States where slavery was illegal wow. because it was settled by kind of German and Swiss free thinkers who hated the idea of slavery. And they petitioned the King of England, because it was his territory, remember, before the revolution. They petitioned the King of England, keep slaves out. If when you bring slaves in, we all become enslaved. Just like when someone stops a black person from voting, they've canceled your vote.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what your color is, they've canceled your vote. And so they try to stop this, but the Habersham family brought in the Africans and created the plantation system. And that is the source of Brian Kemp's wealth. He used all these secret and unknown political connections to get himself made Secretary of State, and he used the power of the office of Secretary of State to bend the vote back in 2018 to beat Stacey Abrams. You'll meet in the film, I talk about 2018, you'll meet in the film Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin. She was about to vote yep. for Stacey Abrams in 2018. It would be her 50th year of voting, and they said, scram, old lady, get out of here. You don't live in Atlanta anymore. You're not allowed to vote. And I went to the house that they said she didn't live in, and there was Martin Luther King's picture on the wall right. having dinner with her. And I say, well, you knew Martin Luther King? He says, well, my cousin, he came here yep. every Sunday after church. Yep. Yep. And this is the woman, 92 years old. They told her to get the heck out of the polling station.
Isn't that?
This is Brian Kemp. This is how Brian Kemp supposedly won in 2018. And it's the only way he can win now. It's the only way Herschel Walker, Father of the Year, can win.
Right, by keeping people from voting, by keeping people who've been voting. So this whole thing where they can challenge, this sort of reminds me of the Texas abortion law. So it's a vigilante law saying that, you know, they're not telling, they're going an end run around law enforcement saying, if you know of someone who's having an abortion, even thinking about it, and you know other people who are helping that woman get an abortion, you can file a lawsuit against that person, a $10,000 lawsuit, even though you have no connection. You may not even know them, but you heard about this. You can file a lawsuit to have them charged with an illegal abortion. You can win $10,000 from them, and they encourage people to do this. It's kind of the same thing. You can challenge yes. their right to vote, even though you have no reason to challenge anybody.
Right. They didn't know anything. Like this guy here, he says that this vigilante says this military officer doesn't live in Columbus, Georgia. He was sitting in the man's home, the home he said the guy didn't live in. And then guess what? In the film, well, you know this, we actually bring the major out. He said, yep. by the way, here's the guy who owns this house. Here's your host. And by the way, you challenged his vote. And the difference is that vigilante is a pretend warrior. He by the way, told me he did not serve in the military. God. But the major, who's career long, who's been in the military 40 years, that he challenged his right to vote. And let's face it, because he knew he's African-American.
Yep.
You know which voters you're challenging. And this is the evil that is going everywhere. I mean, by the way, the one good thing about Florida law, it's one of the only states where if you make a wrongful challenge and you knew it was wrongful, you could actually be prosecuted.
Really?
It's the only state that has that. But it does allow you to still in Florida challenge. Now, whether DeSantis will prosecute any of his little GOP vigilante hirelings, I wouldn't count on it.
Right. Well, but, you heard what I said at the beginning when I was bringing you on.
Yeah, I heard it.
DeSantis, he is actively trying to prosecute people who believed that they had a right to vote, that they earned
were
that.
Were told they were by the state, by the government, right. You have the right to
they
vote.
They were given a voter registration card. They were told this is where you go to vote, and nobody told them at the polling place they couldn't. We passed a constitutional amendment to restore their right after they served their time. And now, this is who DeSantis wants to send to jail. Yet these three people from the villages who knew exactly what they were doing when they cast an extra ballot for the Republican candidate, they're no problem. They didn't do anything wrong. It's opposite world.
I know. Well, one of the problems is that we have to be vigilant. They have their vigilantes, but right. We have to be ready for this. That's why when you go to gregpalace.com, and especially if you live in these states, like we just created a site for Georgians called Save My Vote 2022 with a little explanation on how to save your vote from the wonderful Yvette Nicole Brown of Community. And so we are working very hard, especially in Georgia. But the truth is, Martin Sheehan at the beginning of the film says, this is coming to a state near you.
Yep.
And like I say, the New York Times, we already found five states. They've cranked it up to nine because every time I turn my head, there's a new state involved in this vigilante voter business. So please come to the openings, vigilante. Get a copy of the DVD. I am, of course, expecting a big commercial release after we have our Hollywood showing with the ACLU. But right now, I really need you to go to gregpalace.com to spread the word, to make sure that people check their vote. By the way, if you're in Florida and you don't check your registration right now, if you're in Georgia or Wisconsin, Illinois, you can still do it. Please.
The deadline to register is like tomorrow or the next day. And by the way, if you are a vote-by-mail person, our ballots arrived today. So I have my ballot, going to fill it out, but I have to research all the judicial races and because they overload the ballot with these judges who nobody knows anything about.
And by the way, if you haven't received your ballot yet in those states where you've asked for your absentee ballot, this is how the major found out he was challenged. His ballot didn't come in the mail. And so he called back from California to Georgia and said, where's my ballot? And he said, well, you just heard him. He just said,
you have to show up here and prove that
show up.
He's in California. Like, really?
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And they're telling Republicans don't vote absentee because in a way what they're doing is they're clearing the decks so that they can challenge as many absentee voters as possible. You don't get your ballot. You say, oh, it's a mistake. So, no, it ain't a mistake. If you've applied for an absentee ballot and you're not getting your ballot, you've got a problem. You better call. And in some states, it is closing out today, tomorrow, this week.
Yep.
You better check it. Now, I'm telling people, I know you've been registered at the same place for 50, 20 years. I don't care. You just heard Martin Luther King's cousin, her 50th year voting. They said, you've been purged. Get out. Don't let that happen to you. Go to gregpalast.com. That's GREGPALAST.com. We'll keep you informed of the political situation. We'll do the reports. And I'll be reporting back with you, Nicole, as we get ready to launch this out nationally. Please come to those previews, Chicago, Minneapolis, Oakland, Los Angeles. I'll be there at all of them.
Wow.
Please show up and get the info and spread it out.
Right. I'd say come to Florida, but you don't want to come to Florida. But after, yes, come here and educate the people. Because, look, we're stuck with this idiot who will do anything to keep people from voting. But just like Kemp, we need to get the word out. If you know anybody in Georgia, this is an all hands on deck thing. For whatever reason, Brian Kemp is ahead of Stacey Abrams in the polls, which I don't understand.
If you're down there, both races. I know a lot of people on the coast don't understand. How can they show Stacey Abrams down and it being a dead heat with Herschel Walker? You have to understand the culture battle that's going on there. But the big difference is that, you know, the pollsters are trying to figure out who's voting and who gets to vote. So understand, Brian Kemp has removed 500,000 people since he's been governor from the voter rolls. The pollsters only call registered voters. So if you have the irony that if you've been illegally purged from the voter rolls, the pollsters don't ask you your opinions.
Right.
They won't call you. So you got this irony. Well, that's what the polls showed anyway. No. And then you'll see the exit polls will show Stacey Abrams like they did in 2018. Stacey Abrams walked away with the race in 18.
And then
and
they
if you remember,
they stole it from her.
You know, and you know, we saw this with in 2000 when with the Guardian and BBC, I went down to Florida and found out that 58,000 African Americans were removed from the voter rolls. They said that they were felons. Every single one, their only crime was voting while black. And that's what elected George W. Bush as president.
That's right.
You guys started it.
Don't blame me. I was living in L.A. at the time. Greg Palast, it's great to talk to you. You know, we've been talking about this same issue, it seems like, forever. And you've been doing great work telling the truth. The people just need to listen. They need to understand what's going on. The movie Vigilante does a good job of that. See it if you can. Donate something. Go to gregpalast.com. Donate. Get the DVD or go to one of these premieres. Greg, thanks. Great talking to you. And please keep me informed on what's happening with it.
Absolutely. Thank you a lot.
All right. Cool. You take care.
And I will be there. And let's do something in Florida. You
if
need,
I'm still you here, we're moving. I'm...
And you know what? It's as much about 2020. Like NAACP said last night, this is as much about 2024 as it is about November.
Oh, without a doubt. Now, here's the thing. We're in overtime now.
Okay.
If DeSantis wins re-election, we're out of here. We are planning on moving. We're thinking about Arizona. But if Carrie Lake wins, we're not going to Arizona. Everything is riding on election day to determine where we're going to live. So get out and vote, please.
I think it could determine
if we live.
This is serious stuff.
And I say it
Peggy
all the time.
As Peggy Noonan, as a Republican, says, do you really want Herschel Walker to decide whether we go to war in Ukraine?
Right.
Herschel Walker?
Really?
Really?
You know, yeah.
If that's what the voters want, I'm for it. But
that's not what the voters want. Decide? That's not what the vote. Look, you're given Raphael Warnock on one hand and Herschel Walker on the other. Just listen to them. Give them each 5 minutes to speak and make their case. You decide.
Do you want a bulldog or a senator?
All right, Greg Palast, great seeing you. Go get them. Congratulations on the film, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. You take care. Bye-bye. Greg Palast. Again, it is Greg, GREGPALAST.com. I will link from the blog at NicoleSandler.com/10-7-22. That's where today's show will be posted. And go to the website. There's all kinds of stuff there, too. He's got more video from the film, more clips. I played a couple. I played one yesterday. I played one today. But and Errol's asking, are you moving back to New York City or L.A.? Not New York, because I have a husband who's cold averse. He's a weather wimp. We can't go anywhere where there's winter. He can't deal with winter. So we're very limited as to where we could go. Florida, Arizona, Southern California. California is just too damn expensive, or I'd go to L.A. But believe me, I am scoping out parts of the desert in California where it might be more affordable if that's our only recourse. Because if DeSantis wins here and if Carrie Lake wins in Arizona, California, here we come again. But I can't go back to my old house because I can't afford it. So anyway, that's the dilemma. That's where we are. I'm packing. You need anything? Let me know. Maybe I got it for you. All right. With that, we're done. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Monday, be here on time. Marcy Wheeler returns to the show Monday. And believe me, we have the next January 6th hearing on Thursday. But Marcy has been watching and keeping up on the Oath Keepers trial and everything else that's going on. All the Mar-a-Lago stuff, everything. Marcy Wheeler must have a file cabinet in her brain that she keeps organized. I don't know how she does it, but she does it. So put it in your book. Look at New Mexico. Here's the problem with New Mexico, Mr. Starman. I actually lived there. I lived in Taos. I lasted, I think, 4 months. The altitude got me, and other things. But the part of New Mexico that's warm is I don't think I want to go there. So it's a possibility. But where I'd like to live in New Mexico is Santa Fe. But Santa Fe has winter. Seattle is nice, too cold for him, and too expensive. That's the other part. everywhere is so expensive. So go look. Look at what it takes to rent a place in the cities that you would like to live. It's obscene. I'm hoping that prices come down again, but I don't see that happening. Anyway, with that, we're done. Yes, that time passed quickly, didn't it, Puddles Jumper? All right, with that, we're done. I will leave you with the news. I'll see you Monday. Thank you for hanging, everyone. And thanks for a great week. We'll do it again next week, okay? All right. Here's the news. Have a great weekend. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Nobel Peace Prize was announced Friday morning, and the honor this year goes to human rights campaigners in Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. They are jailed human rights advocate Alex Bialyatsky from Belarus, the Russian human rights organization Memorial, and the Ukrainian human rights organization Center for Civil Liberties. All three were announced as the 2022 winners of the Nobel Peace Prize at a ceremony in Oslo. The timing couldn't be more perfect. Speaking Thursday night in New York City, President Biden spoke in pretty frightening terms, saying, quote, "For the first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis, we have a direct threat of the use of a nuclear weapon if, in fact, things continue down the path they're going. We've not faced the prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis." And then he added, "I don't think there's any such thing as the ability to use a tactical nuclear weapon and not end up with Armageddon." Wow. Keeping all that in mind, this next story comes at the right time, too. Well, for those of us who might want something to calm our nerves, President Biden made an unexpected announcement Thursday afternoon.
"As I said when I ran for president, no one should be in jail just for using or possessing marijuana. It's already legal in many states, and criminal records for marijuana possession have led to needless barriers to employment, to housing, to educational opportunities. And that's before you address the racial disparities around who suffers the consequences. While white and black and brown people use marijuana at similar rates, black and brown people are arrested, prosecuted, and convicted at disproportionately higher rates. So today, I'm taking three steps to end this failed approach. First, I'm announcing a pardon for all prior federal offenses for the simple possession of marijuana. There are thousands of people who are convicted for marijuana possession who may be denied employment, housing, or educational opportunities as a result of that conviction. My pardon will remove this burden on them. Second, I'm calling on all governors to do the same for state marijuana possession offenses. Third, the federal government currently classifies marijuana as a Schedule I substance, the same as heroin and LSD, and more serious than fentanyl. It makes no sense. So I'm asking the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the Attorney General to initiate a process to review how marijuana is scheduled under federal law. Even as federal and local regulations of marijuana change, important limitations on trafficking, marketing, and underage sales should stay in place. Too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It's time that we right these wrongs."
Interestingly, Politico reporting that John Fetterman, you know, the Democratic nominee for Senate from Pennsylvania running against Mehmet Oz, he got a heads up from the White House that Biden would pardon marijuana offenses and review how it's scheduled. This after Fetterman talked with the president for 20 minutes last month in Pittsburgh, where he urged the president to deschedule cannabis. The new job numbers are out. The U.S. added 263,000 jobs in September, beating economists' expectations. The unemployment rate fell to 3.5%. Now, can they stop raising interest rates? Just asking. A federal judge on Thursday temporarily blocked parts of New York's new gun law, which establishes gun-free zones, including in Times Square, where having a gun is a crime, licensed or not. It also imposes new rules on getting a gun license. Well, the state legislature passed the law in July after the Supreme Court, siding with gun rights groups, found the state's previous gun licensing system unconstitutional. U.S. District Court Judge Glenn Sotheby said the new law, quote, "further reduced a first-class constitutional right to bear arms in public for self-defense into a mere request." His order would prevent the state from enforcing this new law, pending a challenge by the Gun Owners of America. So they think Donald Trump still has classified documents that he hasn't yet returned. Wow. Justice Department officials are insisting to attorneys for the former guy that he return any documents marked as classified that are still in his possession, making it clear that they don't believe he's returned all materials taken when he left the White House. In numerous court filings, prosecutors indicated that they had concerns that classified records were possibly still missing. Justice officials have communicated to Trump's attorneys that he has an ongoing obligation to return the documents marked as classified. This is getting redundant. So, a former Proud Boys leader, a guy named Jeremy Bertino, pleaded guilty Thursday to plotting with other members of the far-right group to prevent the peaceful transfer of power to President Biden. The 43-year-old Bertino is the first Proud Boys leader to plead guilty to seditious conspiracy in connection with the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Bertino has agreed to cooperate with the investigation into the Proud Boys' role in the riot. Judge Timothy Kelly released Bertino pending a sentencing hearing. A different seditious conspiracy trial started this week for several leaders of the Oath Keepers group, similarly accused of fomenting the January 6th attack. And check out what they're doing in Illinois. In the second largest county in the U.S., officials launched what they say is the biggest guaranteed basic income pilot program in the country. Cook County will send up to 3,250 eligible residents $500 a month in cash assistance for 2 years, becoming a leader in the movement for universal basic income. Cook County, Illinois, huh? Way to go. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.